Denise, right, firstly, I didn't give you a proper credit yesterday when I did my broadcast with no guests, and this is from Denise, actually. There is nothing to say that the new normal, which is coming, will be a negative new normal. When people are on the news and they're talking about the new normal, I'm a bit up in the sky there. When people are talking about, oh yes, well, it'll be the new normal and there'll still be this and there'll still be that. Let's just have a little think about the positives and negatives that are in the new normal. Well, we know about the negatives, but one of the positives is we now have a Conservative Prime Minister who's had his life saved by an immigrant in the NHS. That's going to have an effect. We've got dolphins swimming around the canals of Venice. We've got pollution levels dropped. We've got people's lives saved, people dying less of pollution. We've got people dying less of car crashes. We've got less gang violence. We've got less murders in the big cities, less everything. And I did include the example that if COVID had hit 2 months earlier, Caroline Flack would be alive because the worry that she had about her court case of throwing a lamp at her boyfriend just wouldn't have caused the career destruction that she was afraid of. And Kobe Bryant, the basketball player, he wouldn't have been in that helicopter. So you can't always say which way things are going to go. There is always, always, always another way of looking at the world. The new normal might just be a better new normal. In fact, we could make it our mission to force it to be a new normal that is positive. Anyway, there's a little food for thought. So yes, that was actually from Denise. I gave it, spoke about it yesterday and didn't even give her a credit. So I do apologize. Okay, lovely. So what have we got? We're looking at that. Smashing. So another thing that Denise has to take credit for, this little comment here that I've said as many positive things as you've heard something negative. Oh no, it doesn't actually say positive, but I have been accused lately of being a positive thinker. Not having that, not having that. I live by the motto, don't make things better than they are, don't make things worse than they are. Don't go into your garden going, there's no weeds, 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 because they'll take over your garden. Similarly, we don't want to go more negative, going, there's loads of weeds, oh, can't do anything about it, and then they take over your garden. What you need is the middle ground where you don't think positive, you don't think negative, you just think how you're going to react. There's some weeds, and we're going to pull them out. This is our plan of action. So all the time on my Rider Confidence course, all the time we're thinking about the negative. But we're not thinking negatively. We're thinking about when the horse rears. We're thinking about when you fall off. We're not going around going, I've read a book called The Secret. The universe is going to look after me. Everything's going to be absolutely fine. That's positive thinking. To be fair, I wrote my book and I've included positive thinking, and I wish I'd chosen the title Helpful Thinking or Powerful Thinking. I'm going to come up with my own little phrase in due course, I've no doubt, where that kind of thinking is described as something other than positive thinking. So one of the best ways that I've found, I haven't even got to anyone's questions yet. If you've got a question to ask and you're willing to come on, you better come on. Let me just have a look in case people are waiting. I'll just zoom down there. Okay, lovely, lovely. Anybody coming on for a question? Very good reception coming through loud and clear. I like that. I wonder if it was just a Maz, yes, a little bit of wind noise in the background. You're quite correct. That's why I put this on in the hope of cutting it down. But I could really do with one of those foam thingies. So yeah, positive thinking isn't necessarily what I'm about. I'm about helpful thinking. I'm about turning the what ifs. You know, you're going along and you're going, what if I fall? What if I fall? What if I fall? What if I fall? What if the horse rears? What if the horse rears? into change, what if into if then. So you've got a plan. If the horse rears, I'm going to grab hold of this particular thing. Now, everybody who's been here knows that we've got plats, and I'll grab hold of a particular plat, causing my hands to move forward, which slackens off the reins, and you can just sit there then. You're not going to fall off the back because you're holding on. And if you want to see more of this, there's a rearing video, and that's on YouTube. So if you go onto my YouTube, Carl Greenwood, and put in the search rearing video, it'll come up. And if you want it written down in a free PDF that I have for you to have, which is bolting, bucking, and rearing, the three main issues that are spoiling people's rides, you can get that. I can't put the link in right now, but I'll put it in afterwards. But instead of thinking, what if this happens, what if that happens? If you think if then that changes the dynamic completely. So it's thinking about the negative, but not in a negative way. So part of that, so I've got this horse, Lumi, who stands up a lot. Now, usually it's on purpose to look cool. However, sometimes if he gets a bit excited, it's stand on your back legs, walk around a bit. And on one particular occasion that I'm thinking of, he then put his legs over the fence and of another horse and just try and get at the horse and just stood there stuck on the fence. And I had a little bit of a moment, I must say. I could just see this all going horribly wrong and I had to get myself out of the situation. I'm a normal person. Of course, I had adrenaline. I had a little bit of fear. Maybe I made a little noise that perhaps began with F. I do sometimes make a little noise that begins with F when I get into a situation, and it's all perfectly normal. Adrenaline, or rather, let me put it the other way. Confidence. I was utterly, utterly confident that we were going to get out of that situation. I couldn't quite see how, and it was all about minimizing the damage, but I was confident that we could get out of that situation, although I didn't like it, because confidence is not the absence of adrenaline. Confidence is not the absence of adrenaline. So you've got adrenaline. People ride horses and they seem to think as soon as there's a little bit of nerves, as soon as there's a little bit of butterflies, it's almost like an affirmation that they're crap. See, told you I was a rubbish horse rider. Now I've got butterflies and I'm always nervous. I'm never going to be a good horse rider. And the horse is going to smell the adrenaline and then it's going to bolt and all that blah. Simply not true. You're allowed adrenaline and you can still be utterly confident about what you're doing and that you're going to get out of this situation somehow with the least amount of damage through your actions. You do it all the time. Every time you drive a car into a hairy situation, on some of these massive roundabouts, this is my usual example. You've got a lorry wheel there, lorry wheel there. You've got roadworks. You've got people driving about. You've got people on bicycles, you've got cars behind you, you've got cars in front of you, you've got the traffic lights, and it's all, and you could hate that roundabout. You could be going, oh God, I really hate this roundabout. I'm never coming this way again. Never coming this way again. Whilst taking the actions to make sure that you're safe, utterly confident that you can drive over that roundabout because you drove over the last six and you're going to drive over the next three to go and see your mum, which you go and see every month or whatever it is. And in that situation, even though you hate it, even though there's adrenaline, you still continue to drive the car utterly, utterly confident that you can drive the car. You don't bottle out and go, you know what, I can't stand this, I'm getting out, and let the car coast over the roundabout. I've said this a lot of times. You've heard this a lot of times. It's one of my central things, that adrenaline, confidence is not the absence of adrenaline. People want to float around in this cloud of confidence that I have, that I must have, so that when Lumi stands on his back legs, he just marches around and puts his front paws over the fence. No. No. Obviously, it's a scary situation, and I'm utterly confident that I can get myself out of it and continue to take action rather than just bail out in some way and scream or jump off, or if I jumped off, now what? Now I've got a horse with its legs over the fence and I'm stood underneath it. That'd be a really bad idea. Anyway, there you go. So what we do is we think about turning what if into if then. You could take this further. If then, if Lumi stands up on his back legs, then I'll grab hold of a plait, moving the reins forwards. And now I've had that experience of him putting his feet over the fence. Then, and I've already thought about this, I'll immediately go down to the outside rein and pull him away from the fence. Because whilst before I had that incident, I would never have thought a horse would be that stupid to go and turn 90 degrees and put his feet over the fence. I now know that they perfectly can. So now I've gone if then, which means that that isn't going to happen again. And those if thens are the powerful thing. I have no idea how I got onto this subject, but it works. Let's have a little look at, is anybody going to join me or attempt to join me for a question or a comment? Have a little look. Mm-mm-mm. Positive thinker. Purposeful. I like that. We're getting there, Hattie. Purposeful thinking. The what ifs only happen when I ride near the road. The horse used to. Let's just see this. The what ifs only happen when I ride near the road. The horse is used to traffic, but living in a rural area, there's also some massive machines passing by. I had a few near accidents, also cars who drive 60. I still get on and ride next to the road. So the thing that strikes me, the first thought that strikes me about this is to my experiences with filming, where the machines, the tractors, the lorry units with fans on the back, the extent of the cranes which are going to pull some rider off its horse or for one of those jerk back things when they get shot or whatever, the amount of machinery between in this little city that's been built up between a quarry in the God knows where in Wales and where we're stabling the horses at some other part of the mountain. What you have to walk past is like a fairground. It's like a fairground. My assumption is that my horses will do as they're told. That they will. Firstly, my assumption is that horses are perfectly capable of coping with these big machines. Perfectly capable. If you think of those old combine harvesters, you got a horse just like me in the center of the screen, and then off to the side you've got all these whirling, threshing, whipping up the corn, cutting it, all these arms clacking about, and that horse is 6 foot in front of it, 10 foot in front of it, and it's expected to just pull that. And it does just pull that. Of course it does. We've all seen the photos. How come? Because the expectation of the driver is that the horse will do it. And by little bite sizes, by little amounts of incremental steps, we teach the horse that we fully expect you to do this. Fully expect you to do this. As soon as we're on the road training our horses, or even better, as soon as we're at home deciding to train our horses, and if you can borrow a large vehicle, and there is no problem at all. If you wanted to get a little bullfighting video with you and a JCB, and you worked on that and you made a funny little video and put it onto YouTube as an example of how well you've trained your horse, and just watch the comments come in. A good proportion of them will be negative, saying that you're cruel. But if you do it well, and it would be a fantastic little video. But the, I might even do that. I've had a brilliant idea. My point is that your expectation that the horse will be able to get used to these things, added into the time and effort you get it to get used to these things, which sometimes we're talking about years. Of course we are. You might be talking about 3 or 4 seasons to get that bullfighting act together. But it's perfectly, perfectly possible with the expectation that you're able to do it. I've done lots of videos on how to do this, how to desensitize horses, given examples of exercises to do in the arena to start the process of the horse learning to learn. You can't have the horse having its first experience of being taught anything out on the road with a tractor and trailer. That isn't the time to introduce it to the concept of learning, to the concept of taking its instinctive behavior and allowing the leader of the pack who's sitting on my back to overtake that instinctive behavior. That instead of bolting or spinning or rearing, I go, what do I do? That replacement of the instinct with training is what happens at home. So that by the time you've built up to bigger and bigger spooks at home, that can be coped with because the human's going to save you. And let's take it to the extreme of making a little bullfighting act with a JCB. You could easily get there, but it takes consistency and bite sizes for you as well, because obviously if you were to plonk me on a horse and say, right then, clever clogs, go and do your bullfighting act, I wouldn't be prepared. I'd be like, this is going to go wrong. And I'd be full of adrenaline. I'd be full of fear. I'd be full of nerves. The horse would be like, oh, he's obviously scared. I'm scared too. It'd be a mess, be an absolute mess. But I know that this can happen. I'm starting to wonder whether I should do it and video it all. Might do. I haven't actually got a young horse that hasn't been, I mean, they've all been trained pretty well to so many spooks in there that I don't suppose it would take me very long because I've put the effort in there. Anyway, there you go. I don't like the way that this StreamYard hasn't got a doorbell or something for people to ask to come on. It's just I don't mean to be vague and ignore you. I'm just looking at the comments. If let's just have a little look. There's Maz's comment. Charlotte saying it's been very helpful. Lovely, lovely, lovely. I've got a bit of a comeback from Tessa here. But what if you can't control the environment? I think I've just answered that. You can control the environment here. And this is where you teach the horse that when something dangerous that you set up, so it's not dangerous, such as, let's start with something simple that I use, a garden sprinkler. Let's say we're going to teach the horse to go through a garden sprinkler. So we're going to set the garden sprinkler off. We're going to put our wet weather gear on and we're going to send the horse through it. Well, it's not that much of a trick, but at the same time, it is a trick that you would need building up to. You'd probably need to start the garden sprinkler going 20 meters away. So you can control your environment. You control your environment until you've replaced the instinct of the horse to rear and spin or whatever. And sometimes I won't even take a horse out for 2 seasons if necessary. If it's that kind of horse, there's nothing to say. And the pressure from everybody else going, oh, are you hacking yet? Are you jumping yet? Are you cantering yet? Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. If that horse requires a couple of seasons in there, getting used to everything that you possibly can. We had a job on the beach. Oh, I hope you saw it. It was the foals video. Or a video called Neptune. So you can have a look at that. You can see the end result. So we had a job on the beach. In fact, I'm talking about the wrong one. I'm talking about the Jaguar advert. Five horses on the beach chasing a camera car. And so we actually took our car. I can't see the arena. We actually took our car into that arena and was feeding them out of it and bibbing the horn and revving it up and making, and they were really close and making the car sort of like bump forward, you know, playing on the clutch sort of thing. And I can control that environment. We can have horses in the field and be riding a perfect figure eight whilst Freddie zooms up and down in the car, screaming the bejesus out of it. We can control that, so that by the time we get into an uncontrollable environment, and I'm going to tell another story now. Another story. So we went to a Clifton, Ashton something Park, where they have a big balloon fiesta, and we arrived quite late, and we had to drive through the fairground. And the health and safety came up and they were like, you can't drive through the fairground. And it's like, well, we have to get to where we're staying. And it's like, no, you can't drive through the fairground. You have to walk. And we were like, well, we've got the horses. They have to go. And he said, you'll have to walk your horses. So instead of putting the horses, having the horses on the lorry and the lorry going at 2 miles an hour through the crowd, we were walking horses in the dark through the fair with all the dodgems and the lights and the simulator for the RAF thing, and crowds of candy floss eating, beer swilling, drunk, shouting, dancing, having a fight with their boyfriend Bristolians. And for some reason, they thought that six horses being led through that was safer than driving the lorry through. So, yes, by that time, you can't control your environment. And what did we do? We told the horses utterly to listen to us. And we weren't even riding them. So we were leading them, which is even more less in control. Listen to us, walk forward absolutely perfectly. I didn't for one moment allow the horse to stop, look round and make up its own mind whether or not it was all right. Because if it had decided it wasn't all right, we'd have been in an enormous amount of trouble. So by my actions, by my drive, by my going forward, I was telling it we were all right. Because we would not be schooling the horse. Because I was telling it to walk forward in the most perfect walk ever. I would not be schooling the horse if it was dangerous, is what the horse thinks. I would not be telling it to do this. When I lead my horses, they have to be absolutely shoulder to shoulder. Not an inch further forward, not an inch further back. Some people like the head there. I like the shoulder there. In the theory that if it gets spooked and jumps sideways, its shoulder is going to hit my shoulder and the front feet aren't going to jump onto my tendons in my heels. I'll just get barged out the way and probably make a little involuntary noise that begins with F. But there you go. So, yeah, they have to be here. Not further forward where they're taking the lead. Not right back where I don't want them. I want them absolutely on my shoulder. And they walked through that crowd in the most perfect. They were still white-eyed. They're not special horses, but I would not be schooling them, they think, if the situation was dangerous. And that's because we've been in there thousands of times with another thing of death and another thing of death and another thing of death and another thing of death. And every time they've listened to me, they've lived. So they know that when I'm schooling them, the things of death are under control. There we are, the tarp of death, the flag of death, the banging a stick on the fence of death, all the props of death that we use. So there we go. In that respect, we can control our environment. We will do so until we've trained the horse to listen to us. Then we can go out in the big bad world, which of course won't be a bad world then, because we're in charge and the horse knows it, so there's nothing bad out there. If it suspects there's something bad, oh, look at me, being told exactly what to do. It can't be that bad, otherwise we'd all be screaming and running away. There we go. There we go. Lovely. Okay, lovely. Looking through the comments. Lovely, lovely. Just reading all about this, but what I'm not reading. What I'm not reading is anybody wanting to come on and ask the question, give it some context. The questions that are going to be in text are perfectly good for Facebook Live broadcasts like this one. But the live Q&A, which is the title of the Social Distance Social Club, I'm going to have to look into this and find out. Way to ask people, and I'd, yeah, tell you what, this is the way to ask people. I'm going to ask people to come on to the StreamYard stream and ask their question. That's what I'm going to do. How easy was that? Trying to work out how do I get people to get on the video though and actually ask the question and have a conversation? And the answer is, I'm going to ask you to. So what we need to do is someone just needs to say me please, or ding dong, or I'm here, or I'd like to ask a question, and we'll get going and we'll do that. Lovely. Okay, so we've got Helen Goodall here saying she'll come on. Okay, let's just see if I can invite that. So let's just see what's going on. Helen. Okay, right. So let's just have a little look. What does this symbol mean here? Can I do that? Invite a guest to see how this layout is unique. Invite. Okay, five guys. Okay, so how do I drag it on? Do I? Okay, trying to work out how to get you on. Share a screen. What's this one here? Oh, I haven't got someone to say that they're going to come on. I can't work out how to do it. Invite. Here we are. Found the button. So there's a button at the bottom that says invite. Send this link to your guests to invite them to the broadcast studio. Right. Let's just have a little look. Let's see what's happening. Copy that. Right. Helen, I'm putting this in here. Let's see if this works or not. This is very good. So what happens if you click that, Helen? Oh, this is very exciting. There must be a notification will come up. Nothing from you yet. What's that say? F-R-E-R-E-R. Oh, it's not very clear. Can you not click on that? You might have to copy and paste it and put it into your browser. Yes, if you click that link, it will take you into the broadcast. Talk about yourselves. Someone must know a joke. Okay, so if it didn't bring anything, There's a little issues. Let's just have a little looky. Send this link to your guests to invite them to the broadcast studio. Instructions for guests. Are you on Chrome or Firefox? Internet connection? If you don't have a laptop, or, look, I'm just going to copy all this. Joining the broadcast. I provided you with a link. Allow StreamYard to access your camera and mic. Make sure you've got the camera and mic selected. Enter a display name. The host will be informed that you've arrived. You won't be part of the broadcast until the host decides to add you in. Okay, let's just bob back to my broadcast. There we are. Right then, Helen, if you're going to just try that, we'll carry on chatting, looking through the comments. And you're undoubtedly joining due course. If anybody else would like to click on that link, which I've lost already, there it is. Then let me put that up again. Oh, look, I can put that there. So if you copy that link and you put it in, you can ask your question or offer your advice, because I'm quite aware that I don't know everything. And the thing about a community of horse riders is that we're in such a position to all help each other and in such a position to all hinder each other. Hopefully, if you're following me, following my page, you'll know the way that I view things, which isn't the only way of viewing things. But obviously, I find it a lot easier to go about things in a empowering way, which changes the what-ifs into the if-thens. I find it more empowering to talk about the triumphs rather than talk about the disasters. I find it more empowering to go for the solutions than to go for the understanding. Yes, it would be nice to know why I am so fearful of other people's opinions, and you may have to go back to your own parents and their parents and why they were like that. Oh yeah, you can do all that. Personally, I don't find it that useful. I think that we're here where we are. This is where we want to go. All the problems behind us that brought us to this point. It is interesting to know where they come from. There can be a sense of release and a sense of closure to know where that comes from. But at the end of the day, if you've got release and closure and you're not moving towards your destination that you want to have, then to me, that isn't as good a prize as getting to where you want to be and skipping the bit where you understand why. How do you get other people in your yard to be more confident and join you, try new hacks, etc.? I don't know. I do know that it's important to find a way. I've written my book and I'm doing these broadcasts in order to get people to enjoy their horse more. My book is called Control Your Stress and Enjoy Your Horse, available at all good bookshops. It's not an advert. Excuse me. And I spent a lot of time wondering about the title. And eventually I decided that it was very important to have enjoy your horse, because at the end of the day, horses are fun. Now, quite how you get the other people on your yard to go and have fun with you, maybe think of something other than hacks. maybe think of different activities. Personally, I'd, because of the work that I do, I'd be more inclined to, we've got Katie here. I'd be more inclined to find, say, bomb-proofing days. That's what I'd do. I'd go, let's all carry flags. I'd say, let's do a quadrille. Let's make a little quadrille. And if we could get 6 or 7 or 8 people to do that quadrille, and then we could practice it with flags and what have you, and then do a little display, all that sort of thing. Okay, people are managing to come on and ask a question. Right, Katie, let's see if we can add you into the stream. Oh, hello. We've not got a picture, but I have got your audio. Not got a picture, have got an audio.
Hi.
Hey, how are you? How are you?
All good. I signed in with an iPad. I just clicked on your link and it just took me straight through.
Okay, so that worked. So, Helen, I wonder... Helen, you hear that? It just clicked on the link and it just went straight through. Helen's going, hang on. Marvellous. Thank you, Katie. So, we've got no picture. Is that on purpose?
It's because I have very slow internet here out in the country, and if I let pictures come up, it's probably going to slow everything down.
Where do you live?
Cambridgeshire.
Oh, okay. Lovely. Do you have a question, or are you just helping me out, or have you got some wisdom for people?
Well, vaguely just clicking on your link to see if it worked. I was happy listening, but I thought I would click and see. And so now
Thank you.
I'll ask you a quick question. I've got 6 horses at home. My husband helps me with them. And to his frustration and to mine, my horses lead for me, but when he tries to lead them in and out of the field, they will invariably be pushing, crowding, pulling, just being generally whatever. So is this just down to him being less confident around them, do you think? Or are they picking up from him or from me? Or
is he leading them? Is he leading them 2 or 3 at the time like you are? And has he gone to the bite size of getting one in order first?
In fairness, we only ever lead them in singly, and so
I was just plumping for a scenario that I was totally imagining. It would have been good if I'd been right though.
I think he maybe holds them a little bit tighter than I do.
That's very interesting, because I've seen that with actors. We get them in here and it's like the horse needs to stand there, and I go through the action, so the horse is just following a pattern and following a pattern and following a pattern, and it's like you come in the gate across the yard and you have to park it exactly so its bum's here, so that its bum isn't in camera and the actors can still do their conversations, and they hand the reins to each other and they grip them really tight and hang on, and I'm constantly just moving forwards and just moving their hand a little bit. It's like, just move your hand, just move it forward, just don't pull on the reins, don't lead on the reins. But you're absolutely right, absolutely, that the horses then start mucking around, and to an extent where I say, just have your hand like that, and the rein just through there. And I'm even with an actor that was on board. I said, I'm just gonna adjust this bit. I took the reins off the bit and put them on the noseband, because he just couldn't help himself. So I suspect that you're somewhere on the right line. Have you had this conversation with Hub?
It's like teaching someone to drive.
Teaching someone to drive.
Don't hold him so tight. I'm not holding him tight. Yes, you're holding him tight. No, I'm not holding him tight.
Yeah. It's not teaching someone to drive. It's teaching Hub.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know where you're from. Yes. I suspect you're completely right. What you do about it. A thing that I use for my students when we get to this thing is where they feel that I'm asking something and there's a conflict or a resistance, I say, just for my interest, can you just try, just because I'm interested how the horse will react, can you just try actually pushing the rein forward a bit so there's definitely a bit of loop there? Or I'll say, can you just for my interest, just try when you dismount, just make sure that you're behind where the stirrup is, just for my interest. And because actually it is for my interest, because if he pushes the rein forward and the horse messes around, that wasn't what I was expecting. And it avoids, and it avoids that. I told you so. I told you that wasn't going to work. And of course, if it does work, then you've shown an example.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's just, they're just funny because, as I said, they don't do it with me. And then a split second, like a watch going down the fields, and it's that frustration thing of the horse being cheeky and knowing that if it, and so it's trying to avoid
Are you mentally on top of the horses? I mean, are you mentally catching them in the eye and going, you know, doing all those cuts of, like, mentally controlling the horses?
Without necessarily thinking about it, because I think if you're around your horses a lot, all the time, I think it's like having a small child. You know, the look that you give the small child, that the child automatically knows that.
Yeah.
You don't push the luck.
But nonetheless, I'm clutching at straws here, being utterly convinced that you've turned on actually it wasn't a question. It was like, hey everybody, have you noticed how if someone pulls on your horse really hard, it misbehaves? There we are.
Yeah.
Lovely. Anyway, thank you very much for helping us out. And if by any chance what I've just said about just for my interest, if you can get through to Hub without having an argument, and it does work as a social way of explaining to students what you might not understand, I'd be really fascinated if you tell us about that.
Yeah, no, I'll give it a go. I will give it a go.
And thank you very much.
Are you gonna do your offer again? You know, your May Day offer that was for one day only, never to be repeated.
Well, it will be repeated if there's another lockdown, another virus attack, or some reason for people to find themselves locked in, wondering what to do, which I hope not is the answer.
So when the plague of locusts arrive, we need to have another look.
Yeah, we'll have another look at it then. But hopefully people have got that and they can really work through that. And then when the restrictions are lifted, they'll find themselves in a completely different place.
Good stuff. Thank you very much.
Thank you for asking. And I look forward to hearing the result.
Good stuff. Thank you.
Okay. Now, apparently, if I click on this, remove from stream. There we are. Ah, look, here she is. Fred will be with you in a minute. Helen, what happened? Tell us the story.
Hello.
about StreamYard.
I couldn't do it. My phone wouldn't do it. So then I went onto my laptop, but my laptop doesn't run Chrome. So now I'm on the tablet, and that already had Chrome. So when I clicked on your link, that was it. I'm suddenly here.
Was your phone an iPhone?
No, it's a Samsung.
Okay, so that Samsung's run, they do run Chrome, don't they, Samsung's?
Maybe I've not got it set up to use that, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's good to know what's working and what isn't working so that I can help people in the future. So eventually, what was your solution? To find a tablet that runs Chrome?
Yeah, and I think if I could get my laptop to run Chrome, I would have just been able to click on that link, and then it was really easy. It just said, you're entering the broadcast, make sure you've got a decent broadband. I put my name in, entered it, and then I can see myself saying, you're in the queue, you know, like, wait for you to let me on.
Yeah, super. If I could just, let's just see if I can share screen. Just have a little look, see if I can share the screen. No, I'm not. Okay, so I've just thought I'd share the screen and show you what it looks like for anybody who's going to do this for their own business. But as I came to the share screen, it says Chrome has a bug that can cause the whole thing to crash. So I think I'm going to not press that. And they are, if you want to do what I'm doing for your business, then you'll just have to plunge in. But at the moment, StreamYard seems to be working quite well. Helen, what you got for us?
Okay, well, I've got two questions. They're both about time, really. One was, I've started to write a book in this time that we have, you know, where we're not working. But still, it's so really, really hard to find a slot in the day to feel like you've achieved enough. And I know, obviously, you spent time doing yours, and I wondered how you did it with obviously leading a busy life. And then my other time question was about how much hard work we put into being positive with our horses and building our confidence. When does it ever feel like you get to the stage where you don't have to keep working at it and that it just becomes second nature? And the reason I ask this is because I was watching one of your rearing videos yesterday, and just watching it started to give me butterflies. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I'm not even on a horse. And just watching it and allowing the concept to appear, oh my God, now what am I going to do if the horse starts rearing? Whereas before I even started watching it, I hadn't even considered it. And it just annoyed me that, you know, that the fear could start creeping in when we all do a lot of work. We read your books, you know, I watch you every day, and I'm always working at it. When does it get to the stage where it's just second nature?
When it's second nature is when you're that familiar with it that it's absolutely nothing. We were all scared of 40 miles an hour when we were learning to drive. Do you remember when 40 miles an hour seemed like fast?
Yeah.
I do. I remember on my first lesson not having the nerve to go into second.
Yeah.
So it does come with, so there's two elements to it. One is the familiarity in the bite size until you're bored.
Yes.
And we're not going to talk about rearing because the bite sizes come to my course and I don't want to come and be a salesman. But if we're talking for jumping, for example, if you've got yourself in a tiz about jumping, it may be that you have to lay poles on the floor and walk over them, lay them out in a proper arrangement. When you walk over the pole, turn your head so that you're looking at the next jump as you go over this jump, so you can see the path that you need. And pretty soon you'll be able to do that. Pretty soon you'll be bored. Boredom doesn't go with fear. And then it's like, you know what, just right at the end, just for the bit of excitement. And it's important to say excitement as opposed to adrenaline is the same. It's the same chemical. The adrenaline is the same chemical. Whether you choose to interpret that as excitement or choose to interpret that as fear is up to you. Somebody could watch the same. I've gone off the subject a bit. Somebody could watch the same rearing video and get a load of excitement because they've had this idea that didn't look too hard. I could probably do that. I could probably put on this nice dress and get a photographer and have that photo that I've always wanted made into a painting above my fireplace. And they would get the same adrenaline, but they'd be like, that is brilliant. I want to learn how to do that. And you can tell in their voice, and you can tell, especially if it's like, well, yeah, you could do that. Mm-hmm. You can do that. I might even pay for that for you. And then they'll start shaking. They go, really, really? And it's the same thing. You're shaking, you're breathing really, and you're flushed. It's just the interpretation is excitement. So on the one hand, we need to do your bite sizes and get your bite sizes bored. So let's say at the end of walking over the poles, once you've done that for a week, then you're going to raise one pole to ankle height. That's where your excitement comes in. And you're not going to allow yourself to say, this is my nervous bit. This is the exciting bit. I'm going to raise one pole up to ankle height and over we go. And that wouldn't be that hard, provided you got bored of the first step. When people come to the Rider Confidence course, they are amazed at how tiny, tiny, tiny our bite-sized steps are. They're tiny. And through doing the activities of the day, they realise how if they persisted in doing these tiny, tiny steps, and all we've done, I'm not brave, but I am trained. I've trained myself in the tiny, tiny steps that are sometimes humiliatingly tiny. There's no bravery at all. And yet we've managed to build this massive show with fireworks on our backs and everything. And we've documented exactly how tiny, tiny, tiny that is. So you need to get bored. You need to break things down into the bite-sized steps on the micro side of things, on the little side of things, on the big side of things. So the big side of things would be, let's keep it as jumping rather than rearing, because it's more bite sizes that I can talk about that make sense to people. On the big side of things, let's say that you want to be jumping this particular round that you've got in your head. As you visualize the goal, the big thing, if you're visualizing, I would do that eventing course, but my God, I'd just be terrified. And you're visualizing, I don't know how anyone could do that. How could, you know, when you've seen pictures of people coming down banks and stuff, and you're just going, how could anyone do that? And that's fair enough. It's very exciting, too exciting. I don't think I'll ever do it. But if I wanted to, I'd look at that and I'd find the joy. I'd find the joy. Where's the joy in doing skydiving? What, bungee jumping? Yeah, you ain't finding my joy in bungee jumping. I can't see the joy. I don't want to bungee jump. I don't want to do it. But if I did want to do it, if it was like, no, I want that photo. I want to be on that bridge over that chasm in Australia. I want to. You have to find the joy first. In the large picture, you find the joy. And once you realize it's possible to be joyful doing this scary thing, then it is possible. So if you could think, would there be a situation where I would be in a scary rear, but absolutely enjoying it? And one very obvious example is that you'd be having a picture taken that is going to go above your fireplace or whatever. Or could I think of a situation where I would be enjoying going down this bank? Or can I see a situation where I would be enjoying doing this thing? And as long as you focus on the joy that you may never get there, but the fact that one person can enjoy it, you could enjoy it, and if you broke it down into boring steps, you would get to that enjoyment part. And along that familiarity, just like when I was driving a car, the joy would be going to Alton Towers or whatever. It'll be marvellous when I'm driving a car. It'll be marvellous. Me and my friends, we're going to go from London to Brighton. We're going to go clubbing or whatever it is that you're saying was the drive to get me to get out of first into second, which I was worried about. And, of course, now we drive, it's like, yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I suppose it's reassuring that you have to go through the same things in those bite sizes that we do. I suppose if you just, well, me personally, I think I just get a bit frustrated that I have to go through the long process, because when you were younger, you just did as you were told. You just got on the horse, did it, without really thinking about it. And then when you go through a stage where you get all worried about it, or you have an accident or something that causes that fear, you know you're in for, you know there's not going to be a quick fix. You know it's going to take time to get to where you want to get to. And sometimes you don't always have that time. I mean, it's easier to make it now. I've just taught my horse to long rein, and doing the bite sizes was so helpful. I could see the bits that he was worried about, so we took it back a stage and did those. And now I've got him going forwards around the school, and the feeling is amazing. But when I started it, I was like, oh God, I don't really know if I want to do this. It feels like work. And I suppose now we've got to the stage where, yeah, you can do it and it's a bit boring, so what's the next thing? But it's just difficult sometimes when you just want to get on and do it.
You've hit the nail on the head. As well as the joy in the big and the boredom in the little, it's enjoying the process. If you're not going to enjoy the process, then, yeah, you've got a pretty hard time. Mm-hmm. But I enjoy the process. I really did enjoy the process.
I could enjoy the process once I could see that it was working. And you can see that quite quickly. And then if it goes wrong, you know you've got to change tack. So it's about using your brain and sort of engaging yourself in that way to get the best.
Yeah.
But I still want to leap to the end result quickly because...
Oh, well, there you go.
Just impatient.
Oh, well, that's a totally different issue.
Yeah. But it also comes down to time, which is that first question. Like, it takes time to do these things. And
why? Are you a lot older than you look?
No, I don't mean like that. I mean like hours in the day.
We've got time. Hours in the day, which brings you back to your first question. So if you're going to have time for consistency with your horse, and let's say that you decide that you're going to do two sessions of long reining for 15 minutes each.
Yeah.
Then it's just like saying you're going to have two sessions of 15 minutes each to write your book.
Yes.
And planning your day. Time management, there's no such thing as time management. There's only distraction management. There's only distraction management. Time management is all fine. It's prioritizing your distractions. So you kind of go, oh, well, at 2 o'clock after lunch, I'm going to do the first 15 minutes of my book. And then as you get towards the end of lunch, the kids start and the phone starts and the starts. Well, you didn't actually prioritize this is going to happen. Now, if the bank manager was coming around at 2 o'clock and you were going to have a meeting which would end up with you getting a something that was really important to you, and this important person was coming around, you'd be amazed how the kids would be taken care of and the phone would be unplugged and your mobile phone would actually be shut in the car so that it didn't actually go off and you weren't. It's about that prioritization. Distraction management is the name of the game. So you write down what you want to do today at what time, and then make it easier to do it than to not do it.
Yeah,
I saw you disappeared then. Did you hear that?
No, I lost you because the internet connection went down a little bit, so it just everything froze.
You'll see it on the replay, but I'll say it anyway. Arrange your distractions and arrange things in such a way that it's easier to do the thing that you were going to do than to not do it. So if for example you want to learn to play the guitar and your guitar is in a room at the other end of the house and you're sat on the sofa with the remote next to you, the chances of you sitting and watching the telly rather than playing the guitar are vastly increased. Mm-hmm. If you put the remote in the other side of the room and find a place for the guitar to sit next to the sofa, the chances of you learning to play the guitar are vastly increased.
Yeah.
So if you're going to write a book and you're going to have your phone beeping away with your Facebook notice and your Instagram notice and who's got this and who's got that, take your phone, turn it off, and not only turn it off, but take it into your car and shut it in the glove box and then go and start looking at your book. You will find that the effort to just see what Margaret said about that last thing I put on her picture means getting up, taking your speech to text thing off, getting the car key. It would be easier for you to just complete your 15 minutes, complete your 25 minutes. 25 minutes is the golden time. That's why we had lessons as kids at 25 minutes long. So you got your 25 minutes. You can put a countdown on your computer. Like it's just counts down. And that countdown of 25 minutes means that when you're 7 minutes in and you're like, oh, this is going on a bit, maybe I'll do something else. You look at the clock and it's like, okay, so that was 25 minutes. There's only 18 minutes to go. I can do 18. Yeah, I can do 18 minutes. You could do that. It's only just over a quarter of an hour and you'll persist. Yeah. If you go and say, right, I must write my book, I'm going to give myself a 4-hour afternoon, and 7 minutes in, you're going, only 3 hours, 53 minutes to go. you're pretty soon going to get up and go away, aren't you? It's like, oh, I can't do this. So
prioritizing, isn't it? Yeah.
Set yourself a 25-minute block. Prioritize as if it mattered to you.
Yeah, which it does.
And then make it easier to do it.
Yeah.
By managing your distractions. It's not time management. It's distraction management.
Yeah, got it.
Does that all make sense?
Yes, definitely. Thank you.
And when I was doing my book, I put on one of these. I got speech to text on the computer and I just said as slowly and clearly as I could everything that I knew that I was going to say. And it was all terrible punctuation, but I was getting it out a chapter at a time. And then the next session, I'll just go and sort out the punctuation after I'd actually written the book, which for me was useful.
Yes. Well, you, as always, are incredibly useful to my day. So thank you very much and keep doing what you're doing. It's just been a great help in this time. Thank you.
Thank you. And you know what? This has been a very enjoyable little meeting. So thank you very much. See you later. Cool.
Bye-bye.
Bye. There we are. See if Fred wants to come on. Fred, are you there?
I am. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good, thanks. Yeah, I'm good.
Right, okay. Was it difficult to join the broadcast?
Nope, not at all. I went onto Facebook and it was just there. And then I put this and I put the link you put on into my computer and it just came up straight away. So it was really easy.
Oh, brilliant. How can I help you?
Well, God, I've had horses now for quite a few years. And I've got a lovely little horse now. He's about 15 hands. He's an American paint cross, lovely nature, really, really adorable nature, really nice person. But I've kind of lost my confidence a lot. The horse prior to him reared up all the time and he never had me off rearing, but you know, it's not a nice experience. We all know that. It's just not a pleasant experience. I couldn't ride him out on my own because he reared up all the time. And I got really, really experienced people, paid them to take him out, and he still did it. So in the end, I sold him totally honestly, obviously, to somebody who did natural horsemanship love. And then I got the boy I've got now, who is adorable. He's really, really willing. He's lovely, but I have really, really, my confidence. I had a little accident on him about 2 years ago where I fractured my ankle. It was doing cross country, just a training clinic. I don't compete. I don't do anything like that. I haven't got the confidence to do that, but I was doing it. Came off, left my foot in the stirrup and fractured my ankle and had quite a lot of time off. About a year ago, I had to move to where I live now. And so I moved my horse. I've always had them really close to me. And I moved him to a very quiet yard where everybody did everything together. Well, it was full livery. So he was in and out with everybody. Whereas before it was like it was DIY. He hasn't changed. I couldn't hack out very much. The thing I haven't got, when I moved there, I was nervous hacking out on my own. So I didn't do it. I always went out with somebody else and her horse went lame for quite a while last year. So we didn't hack out. We did a bit of natural horsemanship and just they had a school there so I could play with him in the school. And, you know, I feel that myself and the horse have got a really good bond. But I then started having lessons before the lockdown and I literally, after so many years of riding, had to be led around the school on a lead rope by my instructor. Luckily, she's lovely and, you know, she understood. But I felt like I was a child again. But hacking out, I'm okay in company. More recently, now I've had to move him. I've moved him again recently for sort of, I want to have that more one-on-one, and I couldn't there. So I've moved him to DIY down the road from me. So I see him every day. I've got that contact back again. Mm-hmm. And I'd started hacking out with the girl there who keeps her, well, she, her father owns it and she has her horse there. And I've done things like I've cantered again for the first time in God, in like 2 years. But I don't know what it is. There's this ball inside me that sort of, if she says, oh, let's go in my granddad's field and have a good old, and I'm like, now I used to ride, gallop him across the moors, bitless.
Yeah.
And now I'm in this sort of, I'm almost like, oh, I don't know. And I just don't know how, and I've got your book and yeah. I'm reading it, the one in To Confidence and Enjoy Your Horse. But I just don't seem to have got
and
my
is anything.
Old...
Is anything in the book gelling with you? Does anything make sense? Is anything making you go, that did happen, that didn't happen, this is happening, this isn't happening?
The one thing that really put it down to me, I mean, obviously, I think my fear is falling off and getting hurt. Now, I've been riding since I was about 11, and touch wood, the first time I ever broke anything other than possibly a rib was 2 years ago. Mm. And you, that in the book, you talk about the valley where you've got a lot and you take, you bought horses at the weekend,
yeah,
and put, and you got riding in
on the Monday,
the filming, yeah. And that, and I was telling my riding instructor about it, and I was saying, oh, you know, this book's brilliant, you've got to read it, it's really, really helpful. So yeah, I don't, that kind of thing. So I have to think about that, and I do think about that. And the only thing he will do is occasionally he puts a buck in canter or gallop.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I can sit it because I've sat lots and lots of other things.
And some people love that. I love it actually. To be fair, you go in from the trot, and it's like, all right then, and they give a little buck and a fart and a squeal, and it's. And you know it's coming, so you're quite ready for it. Hanging on a little bit. Whoa, oh, it's off.
And I used to think that was fun as well, but I don't know what's happened up here for me to go,
quite clearly, you're focusing more on what isn't fun and what might happen and what if, rather than what is fun.
Yeah.
The fun of you galloping across the... galloping across the field bitless, and the fun of you sitting riding a buck and a fart, and that's the joy. At least you've had that joy, you know what it feels like. So I'm tempted to say, what's your background stress been like over the last decade that you've lost your confidence? Has it been a lot of house background stress, house moves and career and relationships?
Lots of career stuff. I mean, I've had a lot of stress over the last quite a few years, because just mainly work stuff. I work for the NHS, and a lot of work stuff. When you say that, I'm like,
because if you're losing control over your emails and losing control over your workload and losing control over your bills and losing control over where you live and what you do and the boss that you have that won't let you progress, as a self image, it's like I'm not in control. Nobody listens to me. I'll just sit in the corner. I won't do anything. I'm not in control. And that's kind of like, even the horse bullies me. I'm lucky if I don't die. It could be a possibility. Add into that being surrounded by a frame of reference which isn't particularly helpful, which you haven't mentioned. So that's my second question. The frame of reference in your horsey world, the Facebook groups that you go on, the magazines that you read, the people that you've been speaking to during this decline over, say, 10 years, I'm guessing. What's that been like?
So where I was, when I first got him, where I was, was a big livery yard, and it was a few steps away from my house, and it got quite nasty there because I do stand up I do stand up for myself and my horse. And there was quite a lot of negative energy there.
Okay, so while we think about that negative energy, is that producing the same reaction as the thought of your negative energy at work?
I mean, the whole lot got on top of me before I moved here.
So that's the why. So you're saying, I don't understand why I used to be absolutely fine and now then it's all gone. The question now is, we're here. You sound like you've got somebody great to go out with. You may need to drop your bite sizes down so that you can take full advantage of that. And your bite sizes come down. Maybe you need to do some long reining. Maybe you need to take your horse out to the far end of the village and just ride it back, or whatever your equivalent of that is. A lot of people feel that the fear starts in going out. It's like, here we go. Whereas actually, if you got your mate to ride it out the first half and said, oh, I'll meet you at 10:30 by the old oak tree with the swing on it, and then you rode it back, you haven't got that, we're going into something, you're like, we're going home. Just as horses are a little bit different when you turn around and start coming home.
Often
you find that people are as well. Because A, the horse is taking itself home. There's going to be no rearing or fear of rearing or fear of spinning or fear of anything, because the horse is going home. And that might be a nice little bite size.
Yeah.
And consciously being aware of the joy of a buck and a squeal and a fart. And if you're like, right, if you worked at it with your bite sizes and writing down a lesson plan and constantly being aware of the joy, and it's like, you know what, I'm going to make a video for Carl's page of me doing that buck and a squeal and a fart and laughing as we set off. So if you had that as a little sub goal, and you said, right, if I really worked at it, how soon could I get that video done? So if you really worked it, just as a random guess, if you really worked it, how soon will we see that video?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. So if you're like, right, I'm going to do that. Now, ease off that pressure by giving yourself 2 years. Now, notice the difference already.
Yeah.
It's like, you just put a pressure on yourself from me going, oh no, who's going to want to see a video in 3 weeks? I probably can do it. And I was like, no, 2 years, 2 seasons. And it's like, I definitely could do that in 2 seasons, because your bite sizes go, way, you take the pressure off. And that's the same equivalent as of me taking that pressure off is of you stopping being surrounded by people going, aren't you galloping? Aren't you cantering? What's the point of having a field ornament? Aren't you jumping? Aren't you? It's my horse.
Yeah.
if plenty of people don't even ride them in the first place. It's not even necessary to ride them. I'm doing it because I want to. I'm doing it in the bite sizes I want to. I've put all the pressure off. A sub bite size is going out with this girl who sounds brilliant.
But you
must work up to it. You mustn't just be like, right, I've got to get there. Are you impatient? Yeah. Are you impatient for your success again?
Because
of course you are, because you've got led around, you're at the stage of being led, and it's like, hang on a minute, I want to be like that. I'll go out with you.
Absolutely.
So I be aware. On that last call, I said, why? You're a lot older than you look. Are we short of time?
We're not short of time. No.
But crucially, enjoy the process. I'm going to enjoy this long reining bit. I'm going to enjoy the bit where Sandra rides him up to the oak tree with the swing on and I come back. We're going to make fun little videos. We're going to do funny little things. We're going to do a little charity something and get dressed and literally just find the fun in tiny bits in the sphere where you are, and as that sphere moves on, so you can move into that as well.
I want to get back to the stage where I can hack him out on my own, where I used to hack out where I was before and meet a friend, and I've not done it here. I have not had the balls to do it. I've led him places.
There we are. So already in the way that you talk, I haven't had the balls to do it. Mm-hmm. It's, to me, doesn't sound very joyful.
No, it
sounds like you pulling up every reserve of Lion King courage that you've got to go out. Is the of course you're not going to move towards that image. I would move towards that image. The image is that earlier thing that you started saying, that you used to, I used to just go out and I'd meet her and we, that's the image.
So
never find the brave, never pull on your brave pants to go out. That's not I wish I could find my brave pants to go out. Well, it's never going to happen, because who wants to go and be frightened? What you want is the joy of going out.
Yeah.
So we've got some great little bite sizes. I don't know which order they'll come in, but one of them is someone else riding out and you're riding back. One of them is going out on a solo and meeting someone. And that can break into bite sizes, as in they could just wait around the corner 100 yards ahead and you can go and meet them. Mm-hmm. And then that 100 yards ahead can gradually become a mile ahead. So there's a little bite size. You've got the little bite size of making the little video over a period of 2 seasons of a buck and a fart, and then you'll be wanting to do it again. To make it a funny video and worth doing, you probably won't fart right. And you'll be like, oh, that was a good video, but it wasn't very loud. And I'm particularly thinking of Bullseye, who, when he sets off up the horse archery track, when he's in the mood for it, let's out, you know, 2 or 3 big raspberries, and it's really funny.
It's always funny. Farting is funny. It'll always make me laugh.
And everything I've said is about the joy, the joy, the joy, the joy, the joy in the bite sizes, the joy in the progress, and absolutely nothing to do with brave pants or the wise or. And you can apply that process to everything. You can apply that process to your work. How can I enjoy this process of progressing? So we need a progression. I need to know something I can do at work in 3 weeks and then give myself a whole season to do it. I will enjoy that process of getting on top of this system, that system, because even if it's something miserable, you can find the joy in it. Because it only seems miserable to you now, but somebody somewhere enjoys it.
Yeah. No. So what are your thoughts? Because I've got a friend in the village and I've said, would she walk out with me? Is that an okay thing to do? So if she walks out while I ride?
Provided that you enjoy it, yes. If you're looking forward to a walking out with your friend, whilst at the same time giving yourself a hard time because you feel like you're a child being walked out and you shouldn't be at this stage and you used to be able to do it. Well, now we're in trouble.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. I mean, I've got the person at the old livery yard where I was at, we said, you know, we could meet up and meet halfway. So if I just ask Bex to walk up with me while I meet her, so we have that positive of him meeting somebody, and then I can go for my ride with her. And my thoughts are, well, you know, we'll be going home.
Yeah.
So hopefully I'll be able to leave the other person. And if I can't leave the other person, I'll have to get off and lead him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's the worst that can happen. But I always give him I did it the other day. I walked him over to meet somebody else who I haven't ridden with for a long time and probably won't ever again. And then when I got her, when we got back to leave her to, they were like, are you going to ride? I said, well, no, I'm going to walk him past your entrance gate. And if I get that, I'm going to leave it on a good note, get off and lead him home, because I don't want to have a battle. I just want to leave it on a really positive note, and then I'll lead him home.
But he would go, he would follow the other horse to the other yard. Well, stick a couple of long reins in your pocket.
Yeah.
And when it comes to leading, don't lead it, because that has a feeling of not achieving anything.
Yeah.
But say, if I want to, I'm going to swap to a long rein training session because it will show me that I can continue to drive him past there. It will show me how much he'll fight with me. It will show me that actually he will probably just go straight forwards from the tone of my voice. It will show me that I'm worried about nothing. It will show me that if there is a bit of a fight, it's perfectly fine. It'll also show me that if he turns in and he's a bit quick turning in, then I can stop him on the long reins and I'm perfectly capable of reversing him out and he's not going to flip over and then we can carry on the journey. And that's it'll show me all of that. And I'm now doing a long reining training session as well.
Yeah, it's really brilliant.
At some point, you'll find yourself going, right, I'm at the gate. Can I be asked to do the long run? Well, actually, I might just ride him home this time. And there's no sense of, I can't do it, now I'm opting out.
That's really brilliant idea.
I can't do it, now I'm changing what I'm doing and I'm going to have the bestest driving horse as well.
Yeah. No, that's a fantastic idea. I hadn't thought of that at all. So, no, that you're right, that changes the, it doesn't seem like you're giving in, you're just changing what you're doing. So that's fantastic. I'm gonna give that a go for sure.
Does he long rein anyway, or are we at the beginning of that, which would be super because now we're on a whole new level of
enjoying
the progress.
I bought him when he was about 4 and he must have been long reined, but I'm not sure.
Let's assume that he isn't. So we'll start off with the feeling of the reins and enjoy every moment of his progression.
He is a lovely boy. Yeah,
get plenty of reversing. Reversing is absolutely super. When you're on board and they stop to go somewhere and you're too scared to bob them, turn around, reverse them backwards, turn around again, and you're past the whatever it is there.
Thing is that the crazy thing is once I'm out hacking, I mean, the people I rode out with these people on Saturday for the first time in a very long time, and he doesn't know them. It was completely new ride. Everything was different. And at one point, their horses were being nappy, and I just banged him in front. And, you know, and he's like, fine, yeah, I'm in front. And, you know, the more I do it, the more confidence it gives me. But it's just getting over that. And I think it's just having people with me gives me my confidence. So he's absolutely, you know, it is all me. I know it is because he's an absolute darling. And he does look to me for confidence because he looks to whoever's there for confidence, whoever's riding or leading.
As far as the gradually giving up going out solo, it's quite interesting that when people are under a great deal of mental stress and when people are anxious or suffering from anxiety attacks or depression or whatever, often the first signs is their interests and the little things at the edges start to get. So if they used to do photography, they'll start saying, I'm thinking of hanging up my camera. And everyone's like, why? And the answer is it's a primitive defense mechanism, which is the equivalent of shrinking into your shell and just waiting till the ice age is over. So at some point when you're like, oh, I don't think I'll solo anymore, could have been a good time to think of a really good solo project that has joy in it and joy in the progression. And it's... But obviously out of self-preservation, we're like, I'll just stop that and then I'll feel all right. And then it's just not that, is it? And we still feel a bit funny because some things are going wrong at work and relationships and self-esteem and progress and everything. And so we cut off the next bit and the next bit. And before you know it's like we've cut off quite a large amount of it. So that's just a point of interest. But yes. I hope you get back to us. And
I wanted to come on your call.
There's been a lot of chat. We've chatted a lot about this, so watch this back again. There's loads of interview facts.
I did want to come and do the course. That's my next bit, is to come and do your confidence, come up to your place and do that. But obviously, it's my birthday next month, and that's when I was going to do it. But obviously, with lockdown, I just hope it's going to happen. going to happen at the moment, but it is still there in my...
Again, with the course, people come like they're going to the gallows, and we start off saying, look, horses are supposed to be fun, and we're like, fun on big old. It's all about find the joy and the fun, and we laugh all day long. We're all making jokes all day long, and at the end of it, people are like, do you know what? I don't know why I was worried. This has been great. Yeah. And it's just that finding the joy in the process.
No, brilliant. Thank you very much. I'll let somebody else have a chance now.
Lovely. Nice to talk to you. See you later.
And you. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Eloise, are you there?
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can't see you. Is that intentional?
Yes, it is. Sorry, let me just shut the door. Okay. So, I don't know if you saw my comment, but I have a really spooky pony. And it was all fun and games when I was younger, but now I'm older, it's not fun anymore. Mm. And I'm just losing my confidence with him.
Okay. So where's, as we did with Fred, it's where's the joy? Where was, or there's joy in it somewhere. And unless we find that joy, then we're not going to feel like working at it, working out our bite sizes or anything. Does that make sense? Did you hear the conversation before?
Yeah, I did. I think when I was younger, there was lots of people my age on the yard, and we used to have fun, we used to mess around, we used to swap ponies, and it was all great. And I think over the years, like me going away to uni, a lot of people came and went on the yard, and now it's because it's quite small, it's quite stagnant now. There's just a few people, but they own multiple horses, and I feel quite a lot of pressure from them because they're quite overbearing, and I don't really have anybody to learn with or mess around with or ride with anymore, so I don't really have the get up and go to want to get over the issue, even though I do, because I want to ride and I want to have fun again.
Yes, I could thoroughly see why your confidence would disappear in that situation.
So I just
move yards.
I do contemplate it, but there's so many pros and cons with going, because he's so sensitive. It took me 6 months just to get him to walk through the school when I first got there, and he's settled. I have a really good relationship with the yard owner. It's affordable. It's close to work. It doesn't really work just to get up and go.
Let's imagine that my slightly flippant comment, move yards. Let's imagine that you did move yards into the idealist situation. And I already know what that is, a situation a bit more like what you had before, where someone's a bit fun and you go and do little projects together. And it's like, let's get your horse to do this. Let's get this one. Come with me and we'll teach the horse to and all that fun and a certain amount of joy and a certain amount of I can do almost vanity, and it's like, oh yeah, my horse is so good, and all that, proud of the horse, proud of himself. That's what we want. So if we're not going to move yards and find it, then what can we do to find that somewhere else? And so what we're looking at is finding people doing fun things.
And I do, there is a girl there who, she wants to get a bit more enjoyment out of hers as well. So we have started going up together on the evenings and started working them a bit more. But I just feel
what events or projects or little things are around you? Because other people and people at own riding centres, we certainly do it here. We want people to have fun. And it's like, look, we've got a special clinic. We do horse archery, obviously, but whatever it is that you do, we've got a special clinic. Why don't you come and join the club? Why don't you do it? And it's all very, we could do anything within our sphere.
Yeah.
So if you and your friend perhaps looked or initiated or found some events or I don't know if what appeals to you, some fun rides, some photo shoots, some something that's around you, to, because you're obviously not going to move yards, and if you like the yard owner, that's absolutely brilliant, and don't. But at the same time, you need to change your social circle somehow.
Yeah.
To doing the events with the people who are not just being dour and and no fun.
The only other thing is, I think because it's gone on for so long, and I have lost, I mean, on the ground and everything, I'm fine with him, but ridden wise, I have got this mental block because he is so spooky.
But what do you want to do?
I just want to somehow change my mindset. I don't understand how I can go from being okay with all the spooks and the silliness to so many years later now, I think, for God's sake, I can't deal with you spooking at a leaf anymore.
But what is it that you want to do? I do horse archery here, and I like doing Jigitovka, and I like doing
back then we used to do a little bit of showing and everything, and obviously now lockdown's happened, that's all gone out the window, but my aim this year was to get back out, go to a few local shows and do what we used to do before I had this confidence issue. That was the goal.
I would suggest that if you booked in the local shows and then it's kind of like, right, okay, we've really got to get working here, and you started working on the things, and again making little videos, and even if for your own entertainment or for publishing or for putting on your Facebook or whatever, if you've got a goal, and the goal doesn't even have to be particularly, oh, I'm gonna ride up Everest or whatever it is, it can just be the goal of the things that you want to do. When you first got a horse,
mm-hmm.
there was people like, why are you getting a horse? And it's like, well, because I want to do this or I want to do that. You might have a vision of a bunch of rosettes, that I want it to win rosettes or something cute, or I just want it to be the best mannered horse, or I just want a photo of myself riding this horse over this landscape, or galloping on the beach is a perfect one. Loads of people just want to go galloping on the beach. Add in a few incidents, a few winters, a few times, a trip to university where now you've had a break and you've had some skills made, and all that galloping on the beach, going over Longman Pass and making a little video or having your photo taken of the horse laying down next to you and you're in a lovely dress and all that fun. Well, that goes with a few winters and then a few people saying, oh, you did that all wrong, you're lucky your head didn't come off.
So,
above all, if you find the fun and start, it's the difference between, the thing is, people get on and they want to train their horse, or they want to get the horse to go well or whatever, and you've got to do these things. It's like me getting into a car and you're saying, where are we going? It's like, well, today I'm just going to get it into third and just keep it going at 2,500 revs, and we'll just do that for 10 minutes, and then I'm going to drop it down into second and go at 3,500 revs. And you're going, I thought we were going to Alton Towers. When you say get in the car, I thought it was Chessington. And I'm going, no, I'm just practicing. It's the same difference. It's like, if you're going to get in the car, if you're going to get on the horse, it's to go to the horsey equivalent of Alton Towers. And you need to find out what that horsey equivalent of Alton Towers is. It's great that you've got someone with you, and that will drive you on. If the why is big, the how is easy.
Okay.
If the why is big, the how is easy. It will all sort itself out, and you will find a way to get over your nerves, because if you don't get over your nerves, you ain't going to Alton Towers.
No.
And there's the joy. And that joy of going to the horse equivalent of Alton Towers, or doing a showing or whatever it is, plus the joy in the process of getting there, even the joy in getting over your nerves.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be fantastic,
That can be a joyous process as well, and it is in so many other sports and pastimes and games. And you laugh and say, I used to be scared of that bit, or I was always scared that the something would do something, that the tennis ball would hit me.
No, you're right. So I think if I was to just like have the goal set in mind then, and then break it down on the way, then that is the only way to start getting over this then.
If the why is big, the how is easy. Get the why you're doing it, focus on the joy that you're going to have, and then convert that into the bite-sized steps, and then take, it doesn't matter how small they are, it doesn't matter how small they are, and then take joy in the progression. Mm-hmm. So 2 weeks ago, all I could do was get on the horse, sit there for 5 seconds and get off again. But that was 2 weeks ago. Now I can sit on the horse, walk a circle and get off again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a big achievement by anybody's standards, but if you're progressing, and it's like now when I just think of sitting on the horse and not walking in a circle, that's super easy peasy.
Yeah.
Then there is joy. It's like, wow, look at me taking control of my emotions. And what does that mean in other parts of my life?
Yeah. I mean, how do you have any advice on dealing with other people at the yard that are quite critical? Because I don't necessarily have the thickest skin, and even though it's so easy to be like, we'll just ignore them, just ignore them, it's quite hard to deal with when you think everybody has a negative opinion of the way you're approaching something.
The only way to deal with negative opinions is to be massively compassionate. If anybody is taking notice of you, that means that they're unhappy that they're not progressing on their horse. They would not be taking. Charlotte Dujardin wouldn't give a monkey's what you were doing unless you asked her for advice if she was on your yard.
Yeah.
She wouldn't take the blindest bit of notice because she's busy. She's got irons in her fire. She's got things she wants to do. She'd say good morning to you and maybe offer you a cup of coffee. And then she'd go out and do her horse. And she wouldn't give the blindest bit of notice. So if they're taking any notice of you at all, and certainly if they're thinking of telling you that you're doing it wrong, for some reason or other, they're desperate for status. Desperate, perhaps they see that you get on well with the yard owner and that affects their security. It's a personal thing about status. Maybe they think, who does she think she is because you've come on and taken your rightful amount of time in the arena. Or maybe you're just not taking enough notice of them and asking them for advice. And then they're a bit like, why on earth, if you were here, like I do a lot of things on my horse, we go a lot of places, we've got competitions and international travel and if you're one of my liveries here, and we have got liveries here, and they just do their thing, and as long as they're happy, I'm happy.
Yeah.
And there's loads of advice I could offer them, and I don't, because they haven't asked for it.
Yeah.
And so as long as they're happy, they're happy. And when they ask for it, I'll be more than pleased. But until then, not I ignore them in a nasty way, but I'm busy. There's one on the yard now. I've no idea what she's doing.
No, yeah. Because
I'm doing this broadcast. But yeah. If I was in a bad place, I'd be like, I'll just go and see what she's doing. Why would you do that? The only reason you do that is something has made you feel that there's a threat to your status. Maybe they saw you ask somebody else for advice and didn't ask them. But whatever it is, it's because they're coming from a bad place.
Yeah.
And you have to be utterly compassionate about it and be like, I know you wanted me to ask you for advice. And I know that I didn't, but I'm not going to ask you for advice. And I feel a bit sorry that you're getting upset about that.
No, I think, yes, yeah, you are. That's incredibly true. When you break it down like that, yeah, you do notice the little things that maybe that is why things are the way they are. Yeah.
Well, like, up here on my live thing, I've got an angry face. What is that? And I got a email the other day that was less than pleasant. The reason why people take notice of me is because I'm doing something. Every time anyone's got anything to say, it's because I'm making progress on the road that I need to make. Otherwise, these people wouldn't notice me. If they're noticing you, they've got a problem.
Yeah.
That makes sense, because I'm a sensitive person as well. But I tell you what, you want to develop a thick skin, start putting out stuff about what you think about horses on the internet.
Well.
Go on.
Yeah.
And it's just a skill that you have to develop. And if somebody can watch my free content, just saying, I think this, and come back so lividly angry, and I do get those comments, of course I do. Clearly, that's nothing to do with me and what I
said. No, you're right.
Clearly, it's not. Because if you disagree, you say, well, I have to disagree, but not the furious. There we are. There we are. So it's a skill you can develop. But if anyone's taking time to watch you do something which is nothing to do with them and then come out with a comment that is anything other than helpful and from a kind place.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because I think that is a huge factor in what holds me back. Because you're just waiting for the next comment, and I really should be like, oh, just sod it.
Also, they don't understand at all why you've got a horse, what your dreams are, what you've been through, not at all. If you were to watch me train here, unless you knew the ins and outs of my hopes, my dreams, my sport, my jiggetovka, my horse archery, the film, I'm training a horse for a promotion, and it's got to have a robot sit on its back, so I've sprayed a mannequin silver and gaffer taped it to the saddle. You'd just be like, what are you doing? And the fact is, you don't understand.
Yeah.
So your opinion is worth nothing. We were getting a horse to lay down once, and someone came out and they were just like, you're never going to get a horse to lay down because you want it to. And the end result was, he was mistaken. Because we were in the process of training the horse to lay it down.
Yeah.
He who says it can't be done shouldn't interrupt the one doing it.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, tell you what, if you really want that, just secretly or even out loud, just have that little phrase in your back pocket. So next time someone, you think it at them.
Yeah.
Shouldn't interrupt the one doing it. Because they just don't know, and they're not paying your bills.
No, true.
But yes, to be fair, if you're a sensitive person, it is practice, but you can practice and you can get better at it. And bear in mind, if you become the champion of the world, how much criticism will you get then?
Yeah, yeah.
If you're at Hoy's doing your showing and winning, how many people are going to put something horrible on your Facebook? Millions.
Yeah.
Because that's them upset that they're not at Hoy's. So if you're getting any comments at all, it's because you're doing something right.
Yeah. No. Correct, yes. Thank you very much.
Lovely. Let us know how you get on.
I will do. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
Thank you very much to everybody who helped us get this StreamYard going. I am actually extremely pleased, but really I should get on and do something else. So thanks for joining. Hopefully you'll join us tomorrow. I'm going to get this onto YouTube, but currently it's on Facebook. So thanks for joining. See you later. Right, end broadcast, top right.